Welcome back.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Most New Hampshire citizens take the job of being the political harbinger for the nation seriously and enjoy the process, but have little patience for the tsunami of pre-recorded calls that generally reach them just about dinner time. Robocalls have been annoying registered voters since their inception. Now voters have a chance to annoy robocallers back. Sean Daskin is the CEO of ReverseRobocall.com, the name of which pretty much sums up its mission. Sean, great to have you on Word of Mouth.
Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, so what would a sample call sound like? Hi, this is Sean Daskin urging you never to call me again. I mean, is that what you record your own call?
Yeah, you record your own call. So it's totally up to you. And so we tell people to think about it a little bit before they start the process. Write down what you want to say. Practice it a little bit. Really be a little bit strategic or thoughtful. just like you're recording your home voicemail or your office voicemail. It's your message to whoever you want to send it to, whatever politician you want to send it to. And then the system delivers it. The other thing that it does that people are really excited about is if you give permission, the system will post your message online so that anybody can hear your message. So you can then share that message. You can tweet about it. You can Facebook about it. You can email it to your friends and family. And so that message then can be heard by many more people than simply the politician.
Do these phone numbers from which the robocalls initiate actual numbers? I mean, will someone pick up the phone?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So the other thing is that what we do is we do the legwork. We find the phone numbers that people answer. So typically, a political robocall will come with a caller ID that is either non-existent or doesn't exist. It could say private number. It could say 0000. It could say Ron Paul campaign. But when you try to call those numbers back, nothing happens, right? They just go into the black hole of voicemail or not even that. And so we spend a lot of time and energy hunting down those phone numbers that actually are delivered to live human beings.
Are robocalls still a big problem considering the dwindling number of people who have landlines?
Oh, yeah. So to give you some context, in 2008, about 49% of the American electorate received robocalls. And so that's about 50 million people in terms of the eligible voters. By 2010, that number had gone from 49% to 69% of the American electorate. And this is Pew data, the Pew Research Institute in Washington, D.C. So the trend, unfortunately, is that more and more politicians, from presidential candidates down to dog catcher, are using robocalls. And why are they using robocalls? Mostly because they're really, really, really cheap. Mm-hmm. And a big myth out there is that, well, I have a cell phone. They can't call my cell phone. Well, actually, politicians are exempt from most robocall laws. And so if they get your cell phone number, they can robocall it, and there's nothing you can do about that. And so people say, well, how do they get my phone number? I didn't give it to them. Well, unfortunately, people get rid of their landline, they go cell phone only, and then they go to register to vote. And when they register to vote, unfortunately, sometimes they put down their cell phone number. Mm-hmm. And that goes into the voter registration databases, and then that gets given or sold to all the candidates and resold and re-diced and reanalyzed and retargeted. And the candidates really don't know whether they're cell phones or not. They just have a list, and they call.
And there's nothing we can do about it on the other end.
Other than
reverse robocall.
Other than call them back and let them know.
Have any politicians come out against ReverseRobocall.com or expressed irritation?
You know, not yet. If I was a communications director for a politician, either, you know, as a staffer or on a campaign, I would probably not advise them to come out against this because it would provide more publicity to what we're doing and, you know, essentially throw fuel on the fire.
I think a lot of people might see a website like Reverse Robocall and think that, oh, it's, you know, all in good fun, a practical joke. I have a chance to get back at the people who are calling me. Are you willing to combat that impression, or are you embracing that impression?
Well, sure, that's part of it, and that's part of kind of the impetus of, you know, why we did this, where we think that this could become yet another, you know, effective way for voters and citizens to get their voice heard. And there's a lot of different ways to do that. Nobody is doing this right now. And so we are in discussions with a number of advocacy organizations who would essentially use this technology for their own advocacy purposes. Because there is nothing out there right now that lets people talk in their own voice with their own intonations and passion and language. You know, you can Facebook about it, you can sign a petition, you can write a letter, but there's nothing better than, you know, somebody's in their own words telling people about why they care so much about an issue.
Sounds like you're on a campaign yourself, Sean.
Exactly. Of course, lots of people tell me, you know, you need to get their cell phone numbers, and you've got to get their spouse's numbers, and you've got to get their kids' numbers, and you've got to really, you know, give it to them like they give it to us, right? And we're very clear that we do not call members of Congress or any politicians home phone numbers or cell phone numbers. We don't really want to fight fire with fire. We simply want to get a message across. People have the right to petition their politician. That's part of democracy. And so just as if you wanted to pick up a phone and call Congress, you can now, you know, get online and send a robocall to Congress.
Well, Sean, we'll call you on this one. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks so much.
Sean Daskin, CEO of ReverseRobocall.com. You can find a link to his site from ours. That's wordofmouthradio.org. Every 4 years, New Hampshire's roads and lawns become fertile habitats for campaign signs. We've noticed some distinctive signage this campaign season, which made us wonder about the branding strategies behind them. What do signs tell us about a candidate? And what was the design process for the current crop? Word of Mouth senior producer Rebecca Lavoy called in a guy who knows a thing or two about campaigns. Patrick Griffin is a longtime GOP consultant and CEO of the ad agency Griffin, York & Kraus. He's also a senior fellow at the New Hampshire Institute of Politics.
I've noticed some really unusual trends this election with regard to campaign signs. I can't help but first talk about that Huntsman sign that looks, well, it's black and red, and it looks a little more like he's running for president of the evil empire. What do you think about that sign?
Well, there's a couple of things. You know, I think Governor Huntsman has tried to go for a very progressive, very sort of technical look, sort of a digital look to his signs. And yeah, the choice of the red and black is unusual. I've slowed down all over the state because I thought there was either a construction site ahead or another haunted hayride I may have missed. In some cases, those signs actually look orange and black. But really what these signs are about is trying to brand these candidates. So the Huntsman brand is progressive. It's high tech. It's the future, not yesterday. Governor Huntsman is certainly in New Hampshire, the only place he's playing, trying to make his brand look different from the others. The use of sort of the sans serif, very contemporary digital type creates a rather sterile sort of feeling. There's nothing warm and fuzzy about the Huntsman brand in these roadside signs.
I agree. You know, sort of unlike something I just noticed in the Romney sign, which is that the R in the Romney sign is actually the profiles of people.
Now, I have some alleged firsthand knowledge on the Romney brand with regard to the sign. I spoke to a person in the Romney campaign who claimed that this R, when it is in red, white, and blue, represents bunting or the American flag. But when you see it on that sign, it looks like the profile of three faces. And in the two color signs, the blue and white color signs, we see those faces are two white faces and one sort of blue face to represent the multiculturalism of America. Now, that's what I was told. It's a little bit like one of those Escher drawings. You know, if you look at it long enough,
yeah,
it starts to sort of change what it is. Essentially, I think that's not bad branding. It's progressive looking. It can look more traditional when it's in color. But the idea that people are the ones that really matter in elections is probably a pretty wise position.
Let's talk a little bit about the branding of names. Now, Newt Gingrich has decided to go on his signs with just Newt. What do you make of that?
Yeah, that's what we call a personality campaign. When Jeb Bush ran for governor of Florida, his sign said just Jeb. When Lamar Alexander ran for president, he was simply Lamar! Exclamation point.
Was that the plaid sign?
That was a plaid sign. That's correct. The Alexander idea, the Jeb Bush idea, is really to promote a personality campaign. And Newt Gingrich, if nothing else, is a very strong personality. So rather than saying Gingrich, which is complex and a lot of letters to put on a sign, Newt pretty much gets right to the heart of the brand. When I moderated that debate up at St. Anselm, before we started, I said, now, it's Mr. Speaker, is that correct? And he said, well, call me Newt. The bottom line is there is an approachability about using a candidate's first name. When you say Newt, everybody knows what Newt we're talking about, and it really sort of brings the brand down to the level of the voter.
So you're talking about the personality branding. Let's take Perry's sign now. That sign seems like pretty much the prototypical campaign sign. Like you could go on the online campaign sign generator, type in your name, and that's what would spit out. Is that your impression of that one too?
Yeah, it's red, white, and blue. It says Perry. It's there's nothing terribly imaginative about the sign. It is, however, what we call a serif typeface. That is to say that it is not like the Huntsman, you know, clean, thin lines. It's sort of thick, friendly type. It's got that sort of Texas down home, feel welcome kind of thing. But it does look like a guy using that sign could be running for county commissioner, could be running for any number of elected offices, because it is right off of the Acme Sign Printing Company's Backgrounds for Political Signs catalog.
Okay, so strategy-wise, sometimes you drive past somebody's house and you see that one giant 12-foot sign, like with a spotlight on it, or you see the really devoted, you know, follower of a candidate having 20 signs in a row. In your opinion, as a professional ad man, longtime political operative, which is the better strategy?
Well, I'll take the one sign on a real lawn any day, as opposed to multiple signs on a lawn, or a gigantic sign that offends the neighbors, or what's even worse is hundreds of signs on state-owned medians, which mean nothing. You know, one single sign in a neighborhood where you know the folks who live in the house and they know you is sort of the grassroots sort of way we in New Hampshire express our support for one candidate or another. The only thing better than a single sign on a real family's lawn is a hand-painted sign on a real family's lawn, because that is about as grassroots as you can get.
Sounds like the really great strategy would be to get like an army of children to paint your campaign signs and then and place them around neighborhoods.
Campaigns have signs. Movements have hand-painted signs. I was recently up in the Lakes region, and I drove by a house that had a Romney sign out front, single Romney sign, and just a little further up, there was a hand-printed sign that said, please, he's the only guy who can beat Obama, and you know it. And I found that to be very interesting, because that is sort of in sign language the very argument that this party is having with itself right now, which is it the establishment candidate or is it somebody who insurges? And I found that to be very profound, that in a single lawn, one voter could make that kind of case so heartfelt.
Veteran GOP consultant and ad man Patrick Griffin there, talking with Word of Mouth senior producer Rebecca Lavoie. Well, what do you think? Any campaign signs you find particularly effective? Not so much? Send us a tweet at wordofmouthradio.org or post a picture of the campaign signs that stick in your craw on our Facebook page, Word of Mouth Radio.
I've got a new life. You would hardly recognize me. I'm so glad. How could a person like me care for you? Why should I bother when you're not the one for me?
I saw the sign, and it opened up my eyes. I saw the sign.
Love is demanding without understanding.
I saw the sign,
and it opened up my eyes. I saw the sign. And no one's gonna drag you up.